You are listening to episode number 259 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Planet.
Man, don't you worry about things. How's your daughter? Nope, she's not my type.
But suppose she says she loves me.
All you're afraid of the mix of black and white. Living in a land where the law say mixing up race makes the blood impure.
Yeah.
She's a woman, I'm a man. Look at your face, I see you can't stand it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I am your host, Ben, a.k.a. the Marvelous Iggy. Joining me is the man who was about to join Donald Trump's White House cabinet, but ultimately learned that the White House will soon be crumbling within a matter of 6 months because of the Russian investigation. Mr. Brian Powers, welcome back. I see. I'm glad you're not joining that dictator of a man.
What can I say? I knows a sinking ship when I sees one. And let me tell you, even Bri-Bri's got principles. Twisted and warped though they may be, they are still principles.
Was that you trying to do a Boston gangster for a second? Because that sounded like what you were doing.
No, I wasn't trying to. If I slipped into it, it's purely by accident.
We now know what Brian's alternative lifestyle is. That's how he's able to do
They call me Knuckles on the street.
Do you also chuckle?
Sometimes.
Last but not least, the man who's probably a bouncer at some local strip club, Taser, welcome back.
I like jumping jaboobies.
He likes them bouncing, that's what he likes, you know, that's his,
bounce.
That's his thing.
Bounce. Ooh,
that's
yeah.
A good song. We should get that song bumping.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, in case you haven't heard, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel-related. But first up, we're going to talk about something that's not technically Marvel, but it's under Disney, so it's under the House of Mouse, therefore it's under the House of Marvel. We're going to talk about the Last Jedi trailer.
Woo!
I'm going to let that go right there. So obviously, Star Wars The Force Awakens reignited a fire into Star Wars fandom, and of course that fandom carried into Rogue One, and fans have been satiating for a Last Jedi trailer. In fact, Last Jedi originally was supposed to come out next month, originally, but got pushed back due to scheduling. It's probably for the better so they can make a better movie. But we finally got a teaser trailer, and I'm just going to say it right now. It was okay. It was good. I will say that I did tweet out that, like, how are they explaining Captain Phasma's appearance? But when I looked at that particular scene, it looked like a hooded man kneeling down in front of a burned area. I'm guessing that's like probably a flashback sequence to when Kylo Ren probably helped in his first order, was probably when they were first starting, and they burnt down like a Jedi temple that Luke had helped start, and that's Luke like just in seeing what his own teachings had done because he fucked up as a teacher somehow. So Captain Phasma's probably still dead. I hope not, because she was one of the cool aspects of Force Awakens.
They said even back when the hype of the first Force Awakens was still going on, they said she was going to live and live on. But I was asking myself that same question, because as you know, there a certain thing happens to her on the planet that eventually...
I think we can say what it is.
Yeah, they toss her in the trash compactor of the Starkiller planet, and then the planet blows up. And how did she get out of there, exactly?
Remote control.
Sure.
She knew
why
the
not?
Code to open a door. I mean, she probably had comms in her suit. Come on.
She survives on sheer force of will and
that's
fandom.
Another thing. No, what I'm surprised is she survived meeting Chewie. Okay, that right there is like kind of.
Yeah, if she had gotten in the way after Kylo Ren kind of did what he done, she would have got her head ripped off.
I'm sorry. I enjoyed the thought of her getting her head ripped off by Chewie.
Right. But I thought it was very good for what it was. You know, not it does like a good teaser trailer. It should be. It doesn't show much. It just gets you that like, you know, excited somewhat, but nothing too much. I'm not gonna lie to steal something from Black Nerd Comedy, but I did kind of after looking at the trailer again, I couldn't help but get some Karate Kid vibes. When you have that panning shot of Rey training with the lightsaber, and you hear "You're the best around" going in your head, so like that is true. But you know, it seems foreboding. But let me ask you guys this: do you think they're gonna repeat themselves with Empire Strikes Back with this movie? Because again, it's just a teaser trailer, and it's no indication of the tone of the movie after all. I mean, Age of Ultron had a pretty dark trailer, and that movie was far from dark. In fact, it was dumb. So it could be just like just trying to make fans think. But do you think that they could be recopying themselves similar to they did with Force Awakens with The New Hope, and then this one with Empire? Let's go to the controversial one first, Taser.
I think that they probably caught enough flack for redoing A New Hope. And understand, and I said this when we did the show, I could understand exactly why they did that, but I don't think that they will tread dangerously like that by, you know, redoing it again. I think it's safe to say that this will definitely be another middle story, but I don't think it'll be Empire. Excuse me, whatever beats that, you know, story beats that they touch on and try to advance the story and then do whatever. And yeah, there's a good chance it'll probably end on one of those dun-dun-dun cliffhangers or whatever the fuck. I don't think we got anything to worry about this time, because it would be hilarious and shameful if J.J. Abrams is doing this, right?
As far as I know. Rian Johnson, I think, is directing this one.
Who's that?
Yeah, he is the director for Star Wars Episode 8.
Oh, yeah, writing director. He did Looper. He's also done Breaking Bad episodes like Ozymandias. And
Looper wasn't bad. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. And, he's writing Star Wars Episode 9. He's the writer and director of Last Jedi. So.
Okay, well. I liked Looper. There were issues with Looper, but I liked Looper.
He also did Brick. My bad. Sorry.
I didn't see Brick. Okay.
Oh, you should have. It was a good one.
Cool enough. But, fair enough. Either way, I honestly don't think that they'll make that mistake again, so I think we're kind of safe. I will say this, though. When they showed the back of what looked to be Leia's head, I thought something really dirty. I can't help it. I just wanted to share it with everybody.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Really, really dirty. Really, really
Somewhere
dirty.
In heaven, Carrie Fisher is flipping you off right now.
Laugh, actually. She'd probably laugh at it.
She'd probably enjoy it.
Okay, let's move on.
Gross. Oh, is it my turn? I guess I'll say...
Yes, before North Korea destroys us all.
Hey, Brian, it's your turn.
I'll say that basically I'll respond exactly what my response was when I saw the first trailer for the first time, which was, wow, that trailer sure was exactly like the Force Awakens teaser trailer, which was a bunch of out of context with ominous narration and some music building in the background. It's exactly the same, and I know it comes off sounding, you know, a bit cynical at first, and admittedly I was feeling a bit cynical about it because... I don't know what it was, but maybe it was the fact that, like, not even an hour after the trailer popped, there was, like, a half dozen think pieces about it spreading online between, like, Rolling Stone and Kotaku and all that bullshit.
But, yeah, I remember your responses on Facebook.
I was feeling a little jaded, I'll admit it. That being said, I took a step back, and you have to realize that, you know, I had to take a step back and realize that, yeah, I was putting it on blast for being the same exact trailer, but Force Awakens... did what the teaser trailer did, which is what Iggy is saying. It created interest without giving away what it was about. And I think that's going to be vital, because Star Wars is still one of the few franchises that they don't give you explicit plot details right away. They play that shit close to the vest. And I kind of admire them for that. And maybe I've been a little spoiled by the current movie market in that, you know, I kind of expected, because you'll get certain movies that'll feed you little nuggets here and there, and then you'll get ones that'll just spoil the plot outright if you get the right movie, like, what was it? There was some stupid movie with, I think it was Kevin Costner, which they spoiled the big twist of the movie right
Man in
the
of trailer. Steel?
No.
Criminal?
No.
Terminator Salvation.
He was in Terminator Salvation?
Yeah, no, No. Iggy's right about Terminator Salvation.
That it ruined the block. That movie's actually pretty decent, but you ripped the. I'm sorry.
I actually like Salvation too, but yeah, they kind of ruined that. But actually, that's a
no, thing. Not Salvation. Salvation's trash. Genesis is the one I'm talking about.
Oh, Genesis. Oh well, fuck you then.
All right, Salvation's the one with Christian Bale, right?
With Batman, yeah, Batman. Yeah, with
that movie had potential. Yeah, never mind. So,
it was shit.
Salvation too.
It was
Genesis
shit.
Genesis, they fucked up.
Genesis' ad team fucked up. That movie was pretty okay.
Whatever. Point being, where was I? So Star Wars, I can't, thinking back, I guess I can't really fault them for playing it close to the vest and doing what movies should do, which is keep their plot details secret to help build interest and stuff. And I like being legitimately surprised at the movies. It's a rare thing that happens nowadays when you don't learn about the movie beforehand, whether it's from the movie's ship promotion or it's spoilers online or something. And I actually kind of like being, you know, pleasantly surprised. And I was pleasantly surprised by Force Awakens. And I imagine if they go for what the tone and scope of Empire Strikes Back was, I imagine I'll be pleasantly surprised here too. And I'm just happy to see fucking Daisy Ridley again, because girl is on fire, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean, I liked it. Could have done with a little more, but again, I can't really fault them for doing what they're doing, because, you know, that's something you want to keep to yourself, and by all means do so. But, yeah, I mean, I'm as reasonably excited for Star Wars as I'll be. I'm trying to keep a cap on the enthusiasm.
Pre-order your tickets now, motherfuckers.
Don't wanna burn yourself out too soon before all the hype train gets rolling and the movie gets here and stuff. And so, you know. But sure enough, I'll be ass in the seat to see it first opening weekend. So, yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. So we're going to only have one more bit of news this week. And that is, we officially have a cable for the upcoming Deadpool 2 movie. And you won't believe who they casted. It's somebody who we would have never picked because he's currently playing, he will be playing the biggest baddie that the Avengers, will face.
He has a big chin.
Yes. So, Brian, will you tell the kind people at home or wherever they're listening to this that who will be playing the time-traveling mutant, my favorite mutant, one of my favorite mutants, my favorite cybernetic mutant, known as Cable
Popeye.
Summers.
Popeye the Sailor Man, he has a big chin.
Hey kids, it's Josh Brolin. Yeah, you know Josh Brolin. The guy who's never been in a comic book property before, like Jonah Hex or the Malibu-owned, Ben Marvel-owned Men in Black franchise, or Sin City, A Dame to Kill, where he played Dwight McCarthy, or, you know,
Wait. He was in Men in Black?
Yeah,
he was in the third one. He played Young Jay.
Okay, yeah, I didn't see that.
Not Young Jay, that would have been weird.
Young Jay.
He plays Young Will Smith.
He changed color.
He did a Robert Downey Jr. type thing in Tropic Thunder where he's just like, yeah. But yeah, so
he has new color change action.
He also played the American Old Boy, which depending on how you feel about Old Boy, I don't know. Taser, what did you think of that Americanized Old Boy? Did you see
what
it?
Are we talking about?
I don't know. Josh Brolin, kids. He's playing Nathan Summers, a.k.a. Cable, as confirmed by the Deadpool powers that be. He'll be popping up alongside Ryan Reynolds in the next sequel. Also, Zazie Beetz as Domino, which is her real name, I was able to confirm. It's not...
That has to be like a stage name. There's no way.
No. Her parents probably did a lot of drugs.
Well, her parents... I mean, Zazie could be...
Either that or her real birth name is different, and she legally changed her name to Zazie Beetz.
Or her parents actually named her
Zazie. It's not like Zazie, like, dropped... Dope Beetz. It's spelled like the vegetable. It's like beet.
Right, but when you say it, you're at that. When you say it, that's what it's meant to be.
I mean, I'm sure Zazie could be a legit African name. I mean, I don't know, but
what are you saying that all Africans are named after vegetables?
Yes, I'm saying that Africa is Dragon Ball Z. Is it? Jeez. But yeah. So Josh Brolin. Maybe the Hollywood obvious pick, as I so dubbed him when I was talking to Arnold about this, because, you know, we had so many other viable picks. You could have gone with Stephen Lang. You could have gone with Ron Perlman. You had fucking Coach Eyes Open, Hearts Can't Lose, whatever the fuck that thing is from that bullshit show. He was in talks to play a Cable at one point. And you went with Josh Brolin, who's already has the MCU flag stuck firmly up his ass? Like, really?
Your negativity is really starting to fucking piss me off. How could you not want John? Look, fuck. Who cares if he's playing Thanos? I'm surprised that he is able to do this because you would think there'd be a clause. You can't work for this company. Whatever. Josh Brolin is a as I said, 2 weeks ago when we actually I don't know if the episode went out, but I'll say this. For somebody to play Cable, whoever was going to play them had to be the perfect straight man to Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool. There can't be any jokes, or if the quips will be fine, but you have to have somebody who's an absolute straight man. Who better than to fucking play it than Josh Brolin right now? That
Stephen
you can think off of your head.
There you go.
Nobody knows who the fuck that is. Get over it. Just
Ron
like
Perlman.
When Terry Crews died, Stephen Lang's dead too. Get fucked. Anyways.
Ron is not dead.
He's dead in the sense he's not playing.
You know what? This is Cruise for Cage all over again.
I don't understand how you can have a problem with Josh Brolin as Cable. When you look at him, you see old war veteran. Just put the makeup on. He's there.
You have to put makeup on him. That's just kind of the point. You don't have to put any makeup on Stephen.
Hair. You want him to be his natural brown hair, or you want to have him white hair? He's going to have the cybernetic arm. Guarantee you that's going to need some makeup applied to there.
That's called a sleeve.
And then his eye, that's not going to, they're not,
they're
that's
not
makeup.
Give it to
that's,
him, it's a movie. They're going to downplay all that. You honestly think that he's going to be a time traveler too? Do you really
watch.
Think that?
Why? What better way? I'm not going to let your negativity fuck with me now, because you've been wrong many a time.
Yeah, and I've been
anyways.
Right many a time, too. Yeah.
Right, even a broken clock ring.
Okay, so let's make it a bet now. Let's see if
here we go. When all else fails, it goes to the bet.
Let's see if he's a time traveler with celestial-based tech. Let's see if he's that.
He's probably not going to have that, but it wouldn't be surprising. Why is time travel out of the realm? Celestial-based tech, I'll give you. Probably won't do that. Time Traveler? That's not out of the realm of possibility. It's a fucking comic movie. And Deadpool
is... Look at how comic booky it is. It's not all that comic booky.
Most of the
X-Men movies haven't done anything...
Deadpool is not the same, though. Look at it.
We're talking about Fox's Marvel universe.
We're talking about what they did with Deadpool, though, and they let Deadpool be Deadpool,
they let
it happen.
Okay. Guys, back to your corners for a second. Taser, in all fairness, there was an entire movie devoted to time travel, kind of. It was psychic, but it was there. That being said, we are also talking about a franchise where they advertise Cable by scrawling on a phone booth, Nathan Summers is coming, CUMMING, soon. So I'm willing to bet they're going to put all the chips in and be like, go whole hog on, this is Cable so-and-so. Like, if you play the Deadpool
I'm not
going to
let your
game,
cynicism get me down, old man.
He's going to be a clone of Cyclops in some bullshit way or whatever, and
connected him. It doesn't matter. As long as he's a time traveler,
you know
that's
what
all that matters.
He probably won't even be telepathic. He'll probably have... I don't know, a generator in his back that moves shit. He won't even be a mutant. Watch, I'm saying
look,
that now.
Look, you're, look, this is, this, okay, you're being,
he's just trying
you're,
to
you're trolling. He's trolling, because I can prove my point. I'm holding my Deadpool Blu-ray right fucking now, alright? This is a fucking proof. I'm defending Deadpool for once, okay? I love Cable. They got Deadpool right. Everybody can admit it. They got it right. They were able to let the character be the character. I'm going to repeat that fucking shit until the day I die. Cable, I understand. There's going to be a lot of nuances that they won't cover.
I don't remember him having a teleporter.
He's had some things.
He didn't have a teleporter.
Give him,
I'm just saying.
What, Deadpool?
Whatever.
He totally had a teleporter.
In the movie?
Not in the movie.
That's what I'm saying. So they didn't get him perfect.
Oh, and here come the...
Think about the movie you're talking about here, dude. Honestly.
Here comes
the
nitpick. Here comes the fucking nitpick.
I think he's a meh actor, but, I mean, really think about this for, 10 seconds. This is a
He's not going to think. He's just going to troll.
Yeah, of course he is.
He's not Stephen Lang, therefore...
He's not my pick, so I can't accept it.
Wait, hold on.
That's all this is.
If I'm to be perfectly honest, he's not who I would have picked.
Right, exactly. That's
But... Shut up, but...
No.
I don't have a problem with him being picked. he's not who I would have picked. And I said that. I said that on the GLCMB. I don't really have a problem with him. That being said, I don't think that they'll let Cable be everything that Cable is. And we can all likely agree on that.
He's going to have a big gun, he's going to be a time traveler. That's all I really fucking need. That's all I really fucking need.
If they do that, I would actually be happy, but I'm a doubting Thomas when
they let Deadpool break the fourth wall.
And
if this was Fox X-Men standards, he wouldn't have done any of that. And they allowed it to happen. So what makes you think they won't let Cable be a time traveling mutant from the future who has to stop Wade from doing some stupid shenanigans?
Because we've seen what they do with time travel in whatchamacallit movie.
And this is not this. Yeah. They won't touch Deadpool because they know Deadpool was a moneymaker. Why would they fuck with it again?
Because they can.
See, now you're just trolling. Because you have no reason.
So thanks for asking me what I think about this.
If this was an X-Men film that was going to happen, you would have validity. If this was going to be like the X-Force movie, you'd be right. But considering it's Ryan Reynolds who has his whole hand in this shit,
I'm pretty sure, actually, now I think about it, I think Ryan Reynolds had veto power when it came to casting Cable, believe it or not.
Exactly. This is a man who understands Deadpool's world and things. He's not going to let...
That's the only role he's ever had in his entire career that's worked.
That doesn't mean... So that means he can't be passionate about that shit?
No, he can be passionate about it. That doesn't mean he knows jack shit about it. I'm just saying.
Read a fucking comic book from 1991, and there you go. Or 1988, whatever. And you got it. It's not like he wouldn't read a comic. This is what the fans want. He knows what people want. He gave what people wanted. He, along with the director, gave what people wanted in Deadpool.
He's been trying to give people what they want for the past 10, 15 years. He's only managed to...
Right, and there's no reason why they can't deliver it with Cable.
I mean, really. I think that's what everybody really wanted.
Oh, yeah, and Van Wilder. There you go. I forgot.
There's no reason why I have any reason to doubt that Cable won't be a time-traveling mutant with a big gun who gets annoyed at Wade Wilson's shenanigans. That's all I really want from Cable in this movie.
That's all I really want. I hope you get it. I hope we get it. I'm just saying I'm prepared for the worst.
You always prepare for the worst. Exactly. You always do, because you're old and dinosaur man.
No, because I'm not full of sugar plums and gumdrops and Sailor Moon like you are. Yay, it'll all work. No.
Right, and usually I come out for the better for it. Usually I don't nitpick it to fucking death.
Also nitpick it to
usually
death.
I was like...
That's what we do.
Not a fanboy, because I'll criticize. I fucking hate Age of Ultron. Ultron's my favorite villain. I hate that movie. That movie's awful.
It's not a movie. You said Age of Ultron. My bad.
Age of Ultron.
Right.
I hate Age of Ultron. I'll admit, X-Men Apocalypse is a bad movie. The only reason I like it is because of Apocalypse. There you go. I'm not a fanboy. I will hate things when needed to be hated. Right now, I have no reason to believe that they will not do Cable justice.
So all I want to ask is this. How much more time do I need to kill to, you know, kind of make this go forward?
No, you don't get to see it because you're hating. All right, let's move on. and you're just legally... It doesn't matter because you're just legally pirated anyways. Let's move on to individual reviews. I want to go the fuck to sleep. No, Brian doesn't get any more so because it's not his character anymore.
I'm sorry, Brian.
I appreciate it, Taser. At least somebody cares. Even if it is about Josh Brolin's meh acting, but whatever.
I'm going to drive with the boss and just hit you with a steel chair.
But hold on, no. He was good in No Country for Old Men.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll give him that, but he was also Jonah Hex, so, you know.
That's not his fault, though.
Yeah, I disagree.
That whole movie was bad. That whole movie was bad.
Look,
Will Arnett, I love Will Arnett in that movie.
He's a good actor. He's been good in things, but, I mean, look, and I'm not arguing that he's a decent straight man. They literally got him to play young Tommy Lee Jones, and Tommy Lee Jones is Hollywood's straight man. They literally put him against Will Smith back in the 90s, when he was the Will Smithiest Will Smith he had ever Will Smithed. But...
Well, no, that would have been when he was in Goonies.
I'm just saying, I think in terms of choosing an actor, they probably could have gone something not. I hesitate to say better, because like I said, he's a fine actor, but something with a little more pop, I guess, something a little more exciting. Because I saw Josh Brolin...
He's playing Thanos. What more do you want?
He's not exciting as an actor, though. Like, you can pick a straight man and be... You could have picked Stephen Lang, and I would have been excited for that, and he could do straight man. You could have picked Ron Perlman, and I'd have been excited for that, and Ron Perlman can most definitely...
Ron Perlman would have been the sexier pick. I'll agree with that.
And let's be
real. If Ron Perlman was Cable,
Thanos,
I would have been better.
Thanos as a character does not pop. He does.
Yeah.
I mean, he got a pretty good reaction to that first Avengers trailer.
Well, yeah, that's because it was Thanos. Ooh.
Well, that's because
they're
feeling a big cosmic event where everyone teams up. They're not excited for Thanos. They're excited for Infinity War, the thing that Thanos brings with him.
Good point.
They're not Thanos himself, unless he goes batshit crazy, is really kind of just... All right, you know?
I'm gonna put that up, Paul. Are you excited for A, Thanos... B, what the chaos he brings with and not the characters up, or C, both of the above. Tweet me at Marvelous Sticky for your true answers. All right, hurry up and finish your fucking point.
Just saying that you could have picked up choice with a little more pizzazz. I mean, Brolin's fine. He's a fine actor, but he's not exciting. He's not
the sexy pick.
He is not the sexy pick. That's
he doesn't make you want to rub your nipples. You know, he's not.
I mean, I think he's a gorgeous.
I don't know.
Man,
have you seen Labor Day, the romantic drama featuring Josh Brolin as he
like he's like 1960s. Old man,
yeah,
handsome,
he's like,
you know?
He
looks like an old man.
He looks like an old man at this point. What the fuck?
Well, I mean, like, he looks like he doesn't belong in 2016. Like, even like, cause he's not that old. He looks like
how
he would be perfect for like.
Is?
Yeah, but you know,
like, what,
you
in
know
his
what?
Mid 40s.
Josh Brolin is. I just 50? Had his Wikipedia up. Motherfucker.
If he's late 40s, I'd buy it, but I think he's pushing 50.
Josh Brolin is. Quick, bet on how old he is.
Mid 40s. 44.
49 years old, ooh. Mr. Brolin is.
Taser wins. Okay, wow. He just
turned 49 this year.
All right, he's forever stuck in 1963. That's he looks like he's something from 1963.
Look, I mean, I actually forgot that Reynolds had some amount of veto power when it comes to casting Cable, so I guess, I put my faith in Reynolds when it comes to Deadpool for just about anything. So I'll say that I'm confident it'll work out in the long run, but there were just a couple more picks out there I was more excited for possibly getting named, so that was really kind of where my meh-ness
like
is coming from. Like, who the fuck did we just talk about for the last...
Ron Perlman. No.
Aside from the ones that you've named, were there any others that you hadn't that... that's what I'm saying.
Nothing really off the top of my head. I mean, I know Kyle Chandler was kind of a dark horse, but I kind of like the idea of him jumping in there. Granted, but I don't know much about his work, so...
He's okay, but I didn't see him as Cable, though.
I mean, like I said, dark horse pick. And I think they mentioned Natalie Portman was a fan's choice at one point. She was nowhere near being rumored, but female Cable would be pretty dope. Just
that would have been diversity now, if anything.
Diversity now.
I think we can all agree that the sexy pick would have been Ron Perlman, because that's the name people recognize.
Ron Perlman would have been, especially after he said no more Hellboy, people would...
Well, there was an April Fool's tweet that he put of like him like as Cable, like I guess he got somebody or he did it himself, of him as a mock-up as Cable. I'm like, I could see that.
Yeah.
But
and him
alas.
Playing actually had a little tete-a-tete about who would play Cable. It wasn't like much, but it was a couple of responses back and forth, and I was like, that's all that I need. I just need something like that, you know?
Yeah, but it's going to be Josh Brolin, and he's going to have to deal with it. It's going to be great.
And
it's going to be great.
Keira Knightley, not Natalie Portman. Excuse me.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Keira Knightley should have been Domino, actually, now that I think about it.
You know, it would have been funny.
She played a character named Domino for a second, didn't she?
That's probably what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I swear to she.
It was that 21 something? The gambling movie with Kevin Spacey?
No, whatever. No.
Let's move on.
Can you imagine Ron Perlman's Reinhardt from Blade 2? Him playing Cable like Reinhardt? Can you imagine that?
Easy.
Then that wouldn't be Cable then.
Correct, please.
That wouldn't be Cable. And get off on Blade 2's dick already.
Blade
Jesus
2
Christ.
Is a better movie than most of the Marvel movies that came out. I'll say it now.
It's okay. Blade 2 is okay,
and
people. Watch it for
Domino
yourself.
Okay.
Okay.
Proof you have
Domino,
no good
British
quality taste in movies. Proof, right?
No, I just have a different
you
taste.
You
Blade
2's your
okay.
taste sucks.
Let me guess. Okay. You liked Blade 3.
Who, me? No, Blade 3 is awful.
Oh, my God.
I like the first one better.
Actually,
I did like, what's his name in Blade 3, though? As,
Jessica Biel?
No!
Alright, let's move on. Let's move on. Well, that's how he got the fucking Deadpool job anyway, so it comes full circle.
He got it by leaking the footage of Deadpool test footage.
No, I mean, to play in X-Men Origins Wolverine, that's how he got to play Wade Wilson, is because of that movie.
Oh, okay, cool. It works for me.
And look how that
I
turns.
Just liked the, you know, thunder cunt line. That was just, that was fucking brilliant.
Well, that's not hit. That, well, I mean, that movie wasn't his fault. I mean,
no,
like,
I'm not blaming him for how bad it is. I'm just saying.
No, I was talking to Brian, like, how did that work out? I'm like, that's not Reynolds' fault. That was just another shit show by the director.
No,
same
Fox
with Green
had
Lantern.
To pretty much give him creative control to get it right, so I'm not.
It's like with Green Lantern. Reynolds wasn't bad in it, but the movie itself around it was just so bad. Why people thought it was bad.
I still have not seen Green Lantern all the way through.
Wow, no, you're a monster.
Yeah, no, save yourself. Don't do it. Don't do
just
it.
Just watch
yourself.
It. Watch it once.
Don't.
Watch
no,
it
don't,
once.
Don't. You'll
watch
hate it
once.
Forever.
You'll no, you won't. Yes, you you're, don't be cynical like this, old man. Let's move on.
Don't do it.
To individual reviews. I'm reviewing The Unstoppable Wasp number 4. So
did
this whole series
this
is.
Week?
No, actually, no. In fact. This issue, she shows you why she's unstoppable, because this whole series, the first three issues have basically been about her using her brain and, ooh, you know, trying to form this this lab for these young girls to find an outlet to what they're doing. And this issue, we learned that she knows Krav Maga, or whatever that martial art is, because we were reminded, oh yeah, she was in the Red Room, the same Red Room that Black Widow and Winter Soldier were in, where they train deadly assassins. She's a deadly assassin. But she doesn't like to be that. So she pretty much scientifically puts down these two D-list supervillains, explaining like how this works, why this works, using Krav Maga and why it's excellent, and why she's able to use it, and just puts them to shame. And I honestly forgot that she was part of the whole Red Room experience. That was her shtick. That was part of her origin story.
Who is this you're talking about?
This is the Russian daughter of Hank Pym, who's now dead, or Ultron, or whatever he is now.
Did they just kind of ape her origin from the Ultimate Verse?
I mean, from what I understand about origin, because I didn't. What are you talking about?
I mean, she sounds like Red Wasp from the Ultimate Universe, who was taken from Swarm, from the Ultimates Volume 2. I want to say.
Except she wasn't. Hank Pym met a woman in Russia before he met Janet. They had relations. He and she was considered a tool of property of the government, and so she only recently escaped. So not really, because she's not working for Russia. She escaped.
Avengers. But Red Wasp was an Eastern Bloc trained assassin who also carried the mantle and did, you know, kind of work for the
right. Except she's not a villain, and she's just uses.
She
the
was a reformed hero in the Ultimate's Red Skull saga. I mean, she did blow Red Skull's brains out by the end, but...
Okay, you know what? You need to sit the fuck down and shut up with the knowledge already, because I'm tired of it.
Shutting up, boss man.
The point is, I love this series,
and... When she blew his brains, was it top or bottom? I'm just wondering about that.
He was laying, dying in a hospital bed. She's kind of blew his brains out. So, yeah.
The point is, this issue showed off her strength, and that she's not just a brain character like her father... But rather when it's necessary, and she doesn't like it, she pretty much just like gets really aggravated. And is like, you know, I try to talk it down with you. I try to do these things, but you made me do that. Pretty much, you made me do this situation with her. And the sort of running gag was that her and Jarvis always get into shenanigans. So I don't get enough Jarvis anymore, considering the classic notion that the Avengers is pretty much dead. So having Jarvis around, being around the daughter of an original Avengers, really really fun. And she still has the same spunky attitude, and the art's great. But yeah, fuck you, Brian, and your stupid fucking knowledge.
Well, I mean, I'm gonna have to send something to Taser via the messenger that demonstrates why she's decidedly not also like the unstoppable wasp. So you know, there's that. But
speaking of Taser, our local African American on the street, the Black Panther and the crew finally came out, and how many cliches were in it?
All right, I really can't answer that in the way that you want, because the story doesn't play out like that. Right now, what we're looking at is apparently, fuck. Apparently this group had gotten together before and helped Black Panther do something, and I didn't read that, so I don't know anything about it. But this is showing how they came together. Okay, somewhere out there, there's a comic, according to this thing, where Cage, Misty, Storm, Manifold, who isn't he still Australian?
Yeah, he's an Aboriginal.
Okay, yeah, because you know, in Marvel, Aborigines are black people. And
well, they're like Australia's black people.
Yeah,
so, you know.
Yeah, because yeah, that doesn't work. But anyway, they got together and helped. They helped Black Panther fight off suicidal terrorists, suicidal bombers in Wakanda. I guess that happened in his own book. But that wasn't the first time the team came together. The origin of the crew begins in the streets of Harlem. So right there, you know, just right there, I'm already, you know, just, you know, minus 20 points. Because it had to do with Harlem. For some fucking reason. Because, yes, this is a black book. This book is supposed to cater to the black audience. This is a book that blacks will be into. Because black. The freaking story starts off with a past tale of some guy named Ezra, who apparently was working with some... a gangster to get out some guys in the 7th Avenue crew, and, you know, because he wanted to move in and take it over because I'm a gangster and I want to take over everything I look over, whatever. 1957 New York, whatever. So, lo and behold, Ezra managed to wipe out the 7th Avenue crew, but he had superhumans that helped him do it, okay? People who I'd never heard of before, you know, I don't have a problem with them creating black superhumans in 1957. I really don't. But, yeah, they took out the 7th Avenue crew, and then they took out this guy. Because only black people get to exploit Harlem. No white people.
But, Taser, don't you know gentrification's not in the thing?
No, gentrification is showing in this book, too. Because they made because they actually made a couple of points on shit that's actually happening in Harlem now. And I kind of went, oh, wow, that's actually happening. So fast forward 1957 to now. And the guy who was the head of the crew, he's dead because he was one of those activists that always protested against some bullshit and would get arrested on the regular. And he got pulled in. Held in custody and then died in police custody. So what happens when a black person dies in police custody? Protest! That's right. Justice for Ezra. No police. No justice. So it's that. It's that. And guess who the story is... The person who the story is from their perspective. Guess which person it is. Take a wild guess.
Misty Knight.
Yeah, it's Misty Knight, who's now a cop.
She's a cop again?
Yep.
Or not again, but... She's
a cop. She's wearing a badge, you know? And
when the fuck did that happen?
I don't know. Somebody looked at her and Luke Cage and went, yeah, she hasn't been a cop in like 30, 20 some odd years. Fuck it, she's a cop again. And they gave her the hairstyle from the actress from Luke Cage. Bye-bye pom-poms. I miss the pom-poms. I actually like the pom-poms.
Just one big fro?
Yeah. You know. So, Harlem's up in arms because, you know, police killing blacks. And you've got a little bit of the clash. And you know, some, you know, loud-mouthed black guy gets in the cop's face. And, you know, he says enough. And they put his ass down. And pigs tossed all over the place. Bacon's. Tossed all over the place. She's on the sidelines giving a dissertation. She actually, her internal monologue sounds a lot like the Misty Knight from Luke Cage. Sounds a lot like it. So, you know, that's where they're going with this. No sign of Colleen Wing at all. And
well, she's not black, so that's...
Yeah, but they worked in this area. Remember,
right?
Nightwing?
But she's not. But she's not.
Oh, so because she's not. Why? Because she's not black, of course. But anyway.
I mean, look who's the cast. I mean, I'm just saying.
She would be a token. I'll give you that. She would be a token. I'm just saying. You know. Either way, and they show Ezra's niece and nephew, you know, who are adults, and a second woman wearing a head scarf and glasses, and Oh, no, they're not going to, no, fuck you, no, they're not doing this. And yes, sure enough, it's Storm, but we find that out later on. And because Harlem is up in arms because Ezra's been killed in police custody, the mayor put Harlem under curfew, which is bad enough. But then he hires... androids called the AmeriCops, a mechanized private army deployed into the heart of Harlem. These guys look like jackboot police hovering with Cobra Commander faces and antennae, and they fire repulsor blasts or some shit like that. So, basically, Taser, if you're out after six,
So what you're telling me is this story is a very subtle, slow build before reaching the crescendo of its very subtle commentary on
police and black relationships.
Are you telling me that they have strained relationships? Are you sure?
It actually happens from
every
now and
again. Have you fact-checked this?
Yes, I have. No, you know what this book is going to be? This book is going to be like Hulk. It's going to take a while before it tells its story, and not a whole lot will happen in it. Yay. So either way, Missy goes around and she interviews the nephew and the niece, and she talks to the cops and talk, investigate. She gives her opinion, and her and the unnamed woman who was close to Ezra's family, they're sitting in a park talking, and for whatever reason, the AmeriCops come, and they're like, citizen, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, okay, well, hold on, here's my ID. And they go, she has a gun! Blast, 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 blast. And she, they end up hitting the both of them. So Missy with her, she still got the metal hand, but now it controls AI.
Oh, I get. What the fuck is this book trying to be? What is this book? I'm sitting here. This sounds like the fever dream of the old man who got a flu shot and didn't take it correctly, and now he's just stumbling through. Like, what the fuck is going on in this book?
I
Taser.
All I can
you
tell
speak
you
jive?
Is.
Tell me.
You know,
Jesus,
what?
Christ.
John probably speaks better drive than I do. But I would honestly say this book should have came out in the 90s, like around the time Milestone did, because that's kind of where this would be, except it's modern day. If this book was to have a soundtrack, it would be Fear of a Black Planet. There you go. I'm saying it now. As a matter of fact, that should probably be what the song that we use for the episode. Anyway,
Wait, write that down. Write down in the chat so Brian can have it for later.
I'll write it down.
Hell, I'll link the song. But, no, it's, They end up finding the AmeriCops, and we find out that the other woman that Missy's been talking to, like I said, ends up being Storm. And she electroblasts, like, the 10 of them that descended, and when they see her, they're like, weapon, stop resisting. And she's like, no, wait a minute, I'm an officer of the law. And the robots don't listen. Stop resisting. And I'm just, and they end up wiping them all out, and then they run away under the cover of rain, because
what is this, baseball?
Yeah. So, like I said, this is a black book. This is supposed to appeal to me because I'm black. Yay! I honestly
Shit. Taser, if I could hug you through the computer, I would, buddy. I would give you a pat on the back and just kind of...
Let me just say this. If this was 22-year-old Taser, maybe, because I was a fan of Milestone. I fucking love Blood Syndicate. Shit. I love Blood Syndicate. You know? and Static and fucking Icon. I there were some things that were black-oriented that I ate up as a kid. I'm not even going to lie. Well, when I was younger, anyway. But I'm 45-year-old Taser, and I'm looking at this book. And this isn't – right now, it's not a cape book. It's a character book, which is what Marvel's been doing lately, you know? So it's really not that different from a lot of their offerings lately. And in that vein, it's not bad. People, there are going to be people that are probably going to be interested in this because of how it's written. So I'm trying to be fair here. I can honestly say that it's a black book. And it's a black book telling the type of story that it's telling. I'm conflicted in wanting to see how the crew comes together, and I'm also conflicted in that it's fucking called Black Panther and the Crew. I mean, do you hear that?
I don't think you're saying it right. You gotta put a little sass on it, you know?
I don't do
urban. All right, let's move on. Let's move on.
Can I,
let's
honestly,
move on.
Can I, let me just... I can all right,
wrap it up,
say,
wrap it up.
If you're a fan of the way Marvel's been telling character stories, then this book might be interesting to you. If you're in need of a black book, oh, here you go. But if you're looking for a black hero story, this isn't there yet. It's really not. It's more or less people who are kind of caught up in something, and, you know, there you go. But it's not a hero book. It's not the Ultimates. Not at all. Not yet, anyway. I don't know if it'll ever be that. But it looks social justice-y, not douchebaggy, but it looks social justice-y. Okay? So in that regard, I'll be fair and give it a 3. 3 warriors out of 5.
All right, Brian, you have 2 minutes on the clock because you decided to egg Taser on more.
I like egg and Taser on. He gives fun commentary. But, yeah. So,
I give good egg.
So, Weapon X, written by Greg Pak, penciled by Greg Land. Yes, I'm...
Oh, right. Explain the why you are a horrible human being for allowing Greg Land to continue to get warped because you bought a comic book with his name on it. Explain your actions.
I would if you let me. I like Greg Pak as a writer. I want to keep up with his work. Weapon X is admittedly a cool concept, one that I am somewhat excited for, seeing how it plays out. And to be quite honest, Greg Land's not that bad in this book. There's...
Fuck this show. Show's over
there's
now.
There's no posts in this one, and it's... The only thing I'll say, actually, my only true gripe is actually kind of with Greg Pak a little bit. What we get in this one is some mutants are hunting down products of Weapon X, Weapon Plus, all that good stuff. They already have Lady Deathstrike in captivity where they're trying to, you know, they're cutting chunks out of her and testing something. But they also get a chunk out of Wolverine from a couple of cyborgs who were able to pass as human around Old Man Logan, which, you know, means fooling his sense of smell and all that other stuff. So they're basically hunting down anybody who's ever been a product, which includes they're still hunting Sabretooth, Domino, and Warpath. I didn't know Warpath was part of Weapon
I didn't
X.
know Domino was a part of Weapon X.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of... I mean, it's Weapon X, Weapon Plus. That kind of falls... I mean, Captain America's technically a product of Weapon Plus, so... I mean, that's a lot of...
Fair enough.
I mean, it's a lot... It's a big umbrella, but...
It's a superhuman...
weapons development program?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. It was never Weapon... It was never new. It was never X, it was always 10, which is... Fuck you, Grant Morrison, for that stupid retcon.
But yeah, so Wolverine goes and tries to track down Sabretooth to try to team up, and Sabretooth is kind of... He's kind of reverting back to his old self. At least that's the way the characterization plays him off. I don't think they've actually directly addressed this, because I couldn't finish Uncanny X-Men because, Jesus Christ, that book was fucking awful by the end. But that was Magneto's little humdrum team of you know, hardcore X-Men who do the things that other people are unwilling to do and bullshit.
X-Factor! X-Force!
I don't know how he left that team, but he's played up here, like, he's not explicitly stated, but he feels like he's back to old Sabretooth, because Wolverine comes to him and he's like, you know, together we can try to maybe take him out, track down Yuriko, try and get some vengeance, and his response off the cuff is, I've been trying to kill you for 100 years, what the hell makes you think I'd ever team up with you? And that in itself is kind of like, okay, so are we back to non-inverted Sabretooth? Is that what's happening here? It's really kind of...
We're going to pretend Axis never happened. That's what that shit is.
I liked inverted Sabretooth, though. I thought he had some...
Right, but they never did anything with it because Rick Remender's run was cut underneath under him. We know that.
So, yeah, I mean, this issue sets up what we're looking... I mean, there's somebody going after mutants. It's most likely that the remnant of Weapon X or Weapon Plus or whatever you want to call it. But you know what? It's old man.
Is Phantom X in this book?
Not yet, although I think
it's probably him.
Up
it's probably
they're already
him.
Teasing Domino and Warpath at a certain point, and I mean, Phantom X, I think he actually kind of left things in a weird place, because I actually did flip through the last issue of Uncanny X-Men off the rack, and despite the fact I don't know how Sabretooth left it, I know that Phantom X did something bad, and he wandered into the world and never came out again, and nobody knows what the fuck happened to him. So, if that sets up for something, I'm game to see it play out, because Phantom X plus the world equals some pretty scary shit. If you're a fan of Remender's Uncanny X-Force run, you know, well, I'm not even that,
well,
just Grant Morrison's.
Grant Morrison's is where that started, yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, could be. All we know right now is that they have Yuriko, Lady Deathstrike, in captivity, and they're going to be hunting down Domino and Warpath, and right now we got Old Man Logan and Sabretooth kind of fighting for their lives. Like I said, the art's not bad. The writing is a little light. I wish they would have included more in the first issue. It's kind of...
Right, we got to give the shit artist more panels to draw.
Yeah. Well, look, he wasn't awful. There were no porn poses this time around. And, you know,
I swear, it's like I don't even recognize you. I wanted to voice.
You know what? I actually kind of praised his artwork back in Battle World when he did Future Imperfect with the Maestro. If you go back and listen to those episodes,
You listen to this irrational. This is what an irrational person, folks. This is what it sounds like to have Stockholm syndrome.
I just want him to love me. Okay, it's my fault. I wasn't giving his art enough.
You
chance.
Wanted it.
I wasn't giving his art enough of a chance. He could be better. I could make him better. Okay, just God, please, just. Two and a half out of five stars.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to close it for this show. Check us out on Facebook at The Mighty Warriors 3. Check us out on iTunes as The Mighty Warriors 3. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/MarvelSiggy. Follow Brian on Twitter, because when you know it's Friday, or when Brian's searching around Twitter, when he starts retweeting everything, when I mean everything, I mean everything, at twitter.com/NoMrPowers.
Hey, you got it.
Yeah. Yeah, I got it. Taser is lurking. Taser's on Twitter, but he doesn't tweet. But Taser and John are holding down the fort on the Facebook that I refuse to go to because hashtag fuck Facebook. Anything else? Oh yeah, I may or may not be joining another website, be a contributor to there. So that'll be that. No official word has come out yet, so I won't say anything. But I guess in a couple of days it'll be officially announced. I don't know. But in the meantime, you can go to nerdcore.online, where you can check out my two blogs a week from last week. What did I write about last week? I don't even remember what I wrote about last week. Fuck. I should not be doing this now. This is not good radio.
But why would
I compare it to radio when it's... I wrote about my thoughts on the Thor Ragnarok trailer and the Adrian Cioff controversy. That's what
I wrote
about.
Fuck that guy.
We talked about it extensively last week in the podcast as well. Brian. Yes.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at NoMrPowers. That's at NoMrPowers. You can find most of us over on thegreenlanterncorps.com. The message board's there. We're usually lurking around. Or on Facebook at the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. John and Taser keep you abreast of the news happening over the week, and I'll occasionally post something over there, maybe an article or something like that. And just keep spreading the love, guys. I mean, we've been doing pretty good. I mean, Taser was floored by a 100% increase in page views. We found out that one person visited the old website, so that was actually kind of that's pretty dope. 100% increase with one visit.
Yeah, one person visited 71 times. Like, what the fuck was that?
We are doing just miraculously. And Taser, you got a little something set up for coming soon, I think, right? You want to talk a little
about
that?
Yeah, I got caught up in a lot of things. You guys know I was trying to work out some stuff with the RSS feed. So I wasn't able to take and do the review for the porn that I have mentioned last week, but not next show, likely show afterward is when we get that. Hopefully we're not doing, you know, some TV show review, because we do still need to do Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because that's going to be ending soon. And I believe they're getting renewed for a fourth season. Woo!
Fifth season.
Once again, I'll say it again. Proof that American primetime television still likes shit TV.
Yeah, you have crappy ass likes in TV. Anyway, So, yeah,
No, because I actually don't like Iron Fist.
Hey,
we're getting to that. Save your anger.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you angry? Good. I could use every ounce of your anger.
So, if not next episode, then one afterward, we will be getting the blue version of Age of Ultron, and, you know, I can regale you with that.
Is that past tense, blue?
And also, for John, you can find John at your local Burger King.
Also at Gamera Sith, I think it is, on Twitter.
In Okefenokee, Oklahoma, 102349.
Okie from Muskogee, yeah.
Hey, John.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you all next week for another episode of the Mighty 3 World Marvel Podcast. I gotta go finish Shit Fist.
I am the Rock.
That sounds dirty.
I am the Rock.
People are
not only one, how many of that?